Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies, welcome to episode 154. Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. How's it going, Sean?
I kind of love this. I think maybe we should change this up forever. I love it. I do love that Nate is your tech engineer.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm talking about myself now.
Yeah, I like talking about myself in the... What is it?
The third person. That is the third person. Like
Nate,
Bob Dole.
Nate will go have dinner.
That's right. Well, you already burned your tongue on pizza, right?
Yes, I did. As you can tell, Todd is not with us tonight. He needed a mental care evening.
We're toddless. Is that what you're saying?
So we're toddless.
We're toddless, but that's okay. Hey, we all need a break now and then, right? So, well, we also switched the schedule a little bit. We're recording on a Monday night. So
yep, that's different too.
Yeah. So he's got a lot going on. We all got a lot going on, but we've decided to go toddless. It always sucks though when one of us isn't here. And
yeah,
that's never not.
It's so much more fun with three of us.
It's never not you. Did I? That's a double negative. But
yeah, every episode you listen to
still features.
I am there.
Nothing. And we love you for that, Nate.
Somebody's got to be the stone.
That's right.
The
rock. So we're going to do this one, and we're going to do another one together, and that'll be fun. So we're going to have some fun, right?
Yep.
Till Daddy takes the T-Bird away.
Yep. We'll try. We'll do our best. We've done this before.
Sounds good. Your week going okay? Like, we got to ask each other since Todd's not saying anything.
Well, my week is only today since it's Monday.
That's right.
It's a pretty boring day.
So. It's awesome, right? I had orientation at the hospital after this is, I'm starting my fourth week. So I'm basically month in. So there's a official hospital orientation. I found out today why, because I was like, why am I doing this so late? It's because they only have an orientation once a month, and I had missed their last one. So they said maybe they'll start doing them a couple times a month. Hendrix always had one every Monday. They had a new orientation, a new employee orientation, and it was different amounts of people. But there was a large group on for this one. So, but anyway, it was good, and you know, there's a lot of information today. So I kind of my eyes went crossed, and then I came home.
Cool, I love it. Well, let's get into the first announcements.
Oh, that's for me then.
Yep.
All right. So first part of the announcements, I say this and I'll continue to say this, right? Until death do us part. We are here for the guy time, the frivolity, the fun, the creepy, the paranormal. Most importantly, are going to come together to and continue to build a mental health community. So we want you to always get help when you need it out there. Call or text 988 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you may be experiencing. You can also text HOME to 741-741 for professional help. You can access stopbullying.gov if you've experienced any form of bullying.
Fantastic.
I know. It's like I've read that before. I mean, said that before.
Awesome. Well, this is the time of the show where Todd does his dad joke.
And?
Riddle.
So we're not going to. We're just going to scrap it then?
No, I thought I'd honor that. And I have one locked up in the chamber and ready to fire.
He's going to be mad as hell. You know that, right? Hey. We're not stealing.
We got to keep it going.
It's like Johnny Carson when he wasn't there. Somebody did his monologue, right?
You know, somebody might be really, really looking forward to the dad joke.
I say go for it.
All right. Here we go. What has five toes but isn't your foot?
What has five toes and isn't my foot? I think I've heard a gaggle of aliens tell this story before, but what has five toes and isn't my foot?
My foot.
Oh, it's your foot.
Dun-dun-dun.
That's almost as good a quality as Todd's.
That is a high-quality dad joke.
That's right. Moving on and out of that, right? We have shout-outs, and come on, you got to tell me you got a shout-out today, right?
Oh, let's see. Shout-out. out.
Shout out, shout out, shout ats. However you want to say it.
Yeah.
I almost got inappropriate there.
Nothing's ringing a bell.
Nothing?
No.
Well, let's do this because it's the obvious shout out. We'll shout out to Todd. He's a brother. I'd say brother in arms, but he's really a brother with a mic. We miss him. We always do. So shout out to Todd. He will be back. Probably not for the many, but he will be back for next week's episode. How about that? So shout out to him. I want to shout out to Betsy, JB, and Jenny from Unfreaking Believable. Those girls allowed me on their show. I was on the third episode this last weekend. When this drops, it'll have been a couple weekends ago. But they allowed me to talk about our podcast, but also to relate my story and how everything went down last year in February, mm-hmm. which I'm almost to a year, by the way. And so it was a good way for me to start really telling my story. And I really appreciated it. So I think it turned out well. They seem to appreciate it as well. And so nothing but love for them. And I greatly appreciate them.
Heck yeah. Yeah. When I get a free moment, I'm planning on listening to that.
I didn't mention you at all. So I wouldn't ask. That's what Todd said on, I think, on the Facebook group. He's like, so you mainly talk about Nate and I, right? And I was like, but of course. Who else would I talk about? I did talk about you guys, of course. But awesome. Yeah.
Well, if you don't have any more shout outs, we are now to special announcements. We are doing a Mako meet and greet on Friday, April 5th from 5 to 9 p.m.
Working.
It will be at the horror-themed coffee shop and Airbnb called Black House Cafe. It's located at 1122 Shelby Street in the Fountain Square section of downtown Indianapolis. Ooh. Also, we are doing another Mako meet and greet on Saturday, May 4th or 5th, 5:30 to 7 p.m. This will be at the Randolph County Asylum in Winchester, Indiana. This is tentatively scheduled.
I got a couple questions on that. So May the 4th, that's May the 4th
be May with the 4th you, be with you.
And the Return of the Sith. One of those.
Return of the 5th.
Right. The Return of the 5th. I said Sith, didn't I? Sorry. The other thing is that you've been real, all of us have, we've been looking for another investigation. So, mm-hmm. And we have, Randolph County's been on our radar for almost 3 years now. Mm-hmm. So if we can make this work, we need to.
Yeah, for truly. Sure.
Right? That's awesome. Okay, continue. Number three.
We have the Creeped Out and Haunted Live Show 2024 at Greenwood Happy Haunts in Greenwood, Indiana.
Nice.
It will be on Saturday, September 21st from 6 to no later than 9 p.m. Arrival time starts at 5:15. Our special guest speaker is paranormal investigator and author Austin Lawrence. Tickets are only $10, and they can be pre-purchased using PayPal at TW Hedges, which is HEDGES 312, or Venmo at Todd Hedges, TODD hyphen HEDGES. -3, or Cash App, money sign TODDWILLIAM 312, or good old cash works as well. Tickets can also be purchased the day of the show.
Ooga, right? That's awesome. So thank you to Scott and Corey for allowing us to use their venue for that. Greenwood mm-hmm. Happy Haunts is going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun show.
Yeah, and they've even talked about potentially emceeing the event, so that'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
If they do, that'll be great. If they don't, that's okay too. But so yeah, we're looking for. We got a lot of cool stuff coming up this year, and then as we normally say, or Todd will a lot of times say. And we probably got some more. We just haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah. Still working
works.
On it.
Well, we do have some special stuff in the works that we do know about, but we also have things that we don't know about, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah. yeah.
So, let's get right into it.
Yes.
What is the topic for this episode?
We are going to talk about, except for Todd. Todd's our silent partner tonight. We are going to talk about haunted funeral homes. You know what I like about you leading this?
Yes.
It's so calm. And you got me like just wanting to like jump. And then, but you're so calm, cool, and collected. I love it. I think maybe we should make that change.
Nate's
like, heck no.
I'm fine right where I'm at.
I know. Well, when you
I don't mind filling in from time to time.
When you it's like I said, it's like for Johnny Carson, right? It is
for some reason I got my radio voice going tonight.
You do. And the hits keep rolling with Big Nate. Yeah, when you came up with saying, "Hey, you want me to do the lead part?" I'm like, "Heck yeah." Cuz it's frustrating, isn't it? It's like, ooh, there's a lot to it.
There is a lot to it.
We almost need to sit in over in Todd's seat with his
mic. Do I need to jump back and forth?
You should. You should totally do that. It won't seem awkward at all. Oh, so I know we have a website that we're basically going to be pulling a lot of things from. We've also got some stories. There are so many stories about haunted funeral homes that it's ridiculous. You can go out there and just type that into YouTube and... I mean, from Reddit to, you know, all the spooky, scary stories, podcasts on there.
Wasn't one of our recent episodes involved haunted funeral home?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the Haunting in Connecticut home.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it wrong. Snedeker.
Yeah, something like that.
Because I kept saying it's Snedeker, so I'm not gonna say this.
Snickers,
thing. Snickers, something, the yeah. Something else. But yeah, that was really good too.
Yeah,
and that is actually I had there's some stories about that in here too. So we won't cover that too much, but that's a really good point. But there is a Fraser Consultants blog that we're going to be referencing quite a bit. So, so anyway, do you want to take the first one or?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay,
we have. The Haunted Mortuary in New Orleans, Louisiana. The Grand Victorian Mansion was built back in 1872 and became a funeral home in 1928 when it was purchased by P.J. McCannon. P.J. McCannon and Sons Funeral Home operated until 2004. And during that time, there were... stories of many strange occurrences. Some stories tell of a phantom woman in white, of course, who remains on the top floor, still mourning her long-lost husband. Another tells of two women or young children that play pranks on unsuspecting visitors in the former funeral home. But perhaps most terrifying is the sighting of a former mortician. Is that how you say mortician?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Thanks. It makes me think of a...
Morticia.
Morticia, mm-hmm. Yes.
From the Addams Family.
And so, yeah, a mortician who, as the legend goes, can still be seen practicing his work in the basement of the old funeral home.
Oh,
let's go.
That's spooky. It makes me think of, and we've referenced this, I don't know how many times, but My Girl, you know,
yes.
And Dan Aykroyd being mm-hmm. the dad and it's in the basement. And it's kind of that kind of creepiness. Obviously, they don't have any like hauntings, but she spooks herself out, obviously, mm-hmm. with the dead bodies in yeah. the basement. But that's what a lot of the stories, they covered shadow, you know, phenomena. They covered residual hauntings of people mm-hmm. doing like this says doing their job over and over again. But it also talked about people that worked at night in there and had experiences. There was so, and then also, you know, you and I were talking about people that like try to break in and investigate these kind of places mm-hmm. too. So that's creepy. But there was one really long story, and a lot of these stories are the way they tell them. They're like they make it sound real, so you wonder. Is it real? But a lot of these people are like, thank you for letting me tell my story. Most people think I was crazy. So even if they're just like made up stories, they're really good, like mm-hmm. campfire stories to tell in the dark. But I'm just telling you, and I've never really perused too much through a funeral home, just enough. You know, I've been there for funerals. I've mm-hmm. never been at one after dark.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been in some morgues and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But to actually be in a funeral home, I think would be super creepy after hours. Mm-hmm. They're creepy enough during the time. And then to actually go see where they, like, prepare the bodies and everything. Again, I've been in hospitals. I've been in morgues too. But it is, there's just that. It takes a special person, obviously, to do it.
Well, but, I mean, it's just death all around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's, I mean, there was one about a guy hearing strange noises when he was working on it. He only had one other body in the facility, and there was another one supposed to be in another room, and he heard this thud, and he's trying to figure out, like, what was that, you know? And so then he went, and he couldn't figure out what it was, and he's like, well, maybe one of the caskets or something, like, something toppled over, maybe the lid closed on something. And so he could not figure out what caused that, caused the occurrence. And then when he went back to check on the body he was working on, it was gone. And he had to turn into the police, and the police are, he said the first thing he told the police was, well, it didn't get up on and go on its own. And they're like, well, of course it didn't. But he's like, but he wanted to tell him, like, but that's what I think happened, you know, like,
yeah,
it's gone. But there was like shadow figures that are kind of menacing that go through there too. So you never know what kind of residual energy stuck in some of these places. But there's this Jewett house in Mason, Michigan. The Jewett house was built in the 1800s by a lumber baron and became a funeral home in the 1920s. It remained in business right up until the 1990s. After the funeral home closed, the new owners turned the building into a private residence and rented it out. But renters never stayed at the home too long. Apparently, some unexplained activity had scared them out. According to legends, footsteps, unexplained whistling, and whispers are often heard late at night. That's pretty common around these places. Yeah. Do, 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 do. Right. Somebody's hard at work.
Wow. Yeah. I think any of these would be very fun to investigate.
This is, I'm going to stop the press just a second here. We're going to keep recording. I have a quick question for you. Now, when this drops, this is going to be different, but I don't know if you can answer this or not. Neither one of us are Catholic, correct? I'm not sure Todd could answer this either, but I was driving by one of the houses and the back roads that I go on to get here.
Mm-hmm.
And there were what I would call Christmas lights up, and they were like, you know, even like moving lights, you know, so it was like on purpose lights. And I thought, gosh, that looks like St. Patty's Day, because they were green and purple and all this stuff. And then I was like, no, maybe it's Easter. And I got to thinking, well, this Wednesday is Ash Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes like tomorrow the end of just before Lent. So that's Mardi Gras, right? Or the last day of it's not Mardi Gras, but it's Mardi Gras right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's how long is Mardi Gras? Is it a week, a few days? I don't know how that works. I
cannot remember.
But I think tomorrow is that whatever they call
Fat Tuesday.
It's Fat Tuesday, but it didn't have like a Strove or Straw, some kind of a name to it. But anyway, so then I got to thinking, well, are these lights for Mardi Gras? But that's, why would you put up lights? Is that a common thing? Have you ever heard of that?
I guess if they're very festive with Mardi Gras.
I guess. In Indiana, though?
I can see green and purple for that, yeah.
But that's the only thing I could think, because I'm like, it's way too early for Easter. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, that's definitely not, it's not Valentine's Day lights, right? I mean, because today's the 12th.
Well, maybe Wednesday for Lent, they're going to give up Christmas lights. So they'll turn them off.
Yes, I don't know. Oh, it's called Shrove Tuesday. So Shrove. This has nothing to do with funeral homes, but I just had this came into my mind. Well, and I thought maybe you would know. This probably should have been part of the discussion, but
yeah, I was actually raised Catholic.
Oh yeah,
but then and baptized Catholic. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
More so,
or no, maybe I did know that.
I practice Christianity more so. It sort of aligns more with me.
Yeah. Okay.
So
anyway.
But yeah, I'd say green and purple. I mean, that's sort of the main colors of Mardi Gras.
Right? So. Well, and the weirdest thing and the thing that doesn't make sense to me is, why would you put up so many lights? I'm not judging. I mean, if you're into that.
They like to party.
Right? So I'm all for it. But I would not put up that all. It was lights all around the house.
Wow.
So just like a Christmas light kind of thing. So anyway, I'm going to have to go buy it. I'll take a picture of it when I go back by. They'll probably be out by that time.
All right, let's
continue.
Get back on the rails. We have the Lentz Funeral Home in, I'm going to say, Rayford, North Carolina.
It looks right to me.
Like many older funeral homes, this former funeral home doubled as a family home. It even inspired its own book titled, If These Walls Could Speak. the Undertaker's daughter. And I saw that being advertised somewhere.
Yeah.
Doing a little research on this. Written by, let's say, Inna Lentz Grisback. The book documents her experience growing up in the rural North Carolina mortuary. Stories tell of lights in the basement mysteriously turning on, or of random objects disappearing only to reappear days later. So that would be fun.
That's crazy. The so in this, we were talking about like going through different research. I had a really, I love, and I've said this before, I love James Dean. You know, he's an Indiana boy and lived, you know, died forever young.
I'm working in Marion where he was
born
and raised, I believe.
Fairmont, so it's but it's really close there. You should go to the, there's a museum and cemetery and all that. They actually had to, people would come and take a lot of like bits and pieces off of his grave for the longest time too, just to have a piece of him. But it's actually, it's so interesting. His history is fascinating. But this, I was looking at this and I hadn't seen this in a long time, but it was, so I'll read a little bit. The see eerily some eerie photos of James Dean posing with a coffin in 1955, the year he died. So it says James Dean posing amusingly in a casket in a funeral parlor 7 months before he died. Photographer Dennis Stock met James Dean in Hollywood in January of 1955. Intrigued, began to photograph him. Following him on a visit to his birthplace in Fairmont, Indiana, to New York City, and back to Hollywood, Stock recorded unforgettable images of young actor in both his professional and private worlds. In one of the photo series of shots, Dean decided to eerily pose inside a coffin at the local department store in Fairmont. Sadly, this would be the last time Dean ever returned alive to his boyhood home. He died on September 30th, 1955, in a car accident near Paso Robles, California. It's easier to say in your head. He's buried in Park Cemetery in Fairmont. So, and we've seen that. But look at some of these. Mm-hmm. You have to go. Have you seen these before?
Yeah, you showed.
Oh, I showed them
the other night.
Yeah, that's right. But they're just super creepy because some of them are silly. Some are funny. Some of me looks, you know, dead.
Doing the Dracula.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he's doing the Dracula one. But it is pretty creepy. And so I don't know. It's very nostalgic to see him. But, you know, that meant just a few months before he died, you know, for him to be back in his hometown and looking that way. It's just, it's super creepy.
Yeah, it's sort of a foreshadowing.
And there's a lot of foreshadowing with him. But Coletta's funeral home in Chicago, Illinois. This former funeral home operated from 1908 to 1955, speaking of 1955, after which the funeral home became a bar. Many of the bar's new patrons, including the owner, say they've seen some paranormal activity. Stories include mysterious thick white fog filling the basement at random and the appearance of an unknown man wearing a trench coat. You think he's got clothes on under that trench coat?
That's what I was going to say. I highly warn you of staring at him if he tries to open it.
Oh, yes, they call him the Streak.
Wow. All right. We have in Savannah, Georgia, the Kehoe House. That's what I'm going to pronounce it as. K-E-H-O-E.
That's right.
So the Kehoe House is now a romantic bed and breakfast.
Of course it is.
In Savannah's historic district. But prior...
Red light district.
But prior to that, the mansion, built in 1892, was a family-owned funeral home. That's a tongue twister.
It is.
Owned by the Kehoe family. As the legend goes, two of the Kehoe children passed away while the family lived in the building. To this day, guests report seeing two young spirits while staying overnight at the bed and breakfast. Sort of takes the romanticism
out of it. Yeah, that's right.
Out of the evening to child spirits wandering around.
I like the fact that there is a, this is spread out around the country too. You know, this isn't just all in one area.
Yep.
So you were talking about the Snedeker, right?
Snedeker.
Dang it, I'm still not saying it right. But
I might not be saying it right. We need Todd.
When I say it is, and he's gonna be mad at me because I always think Mr. Sneed, you know, from Captain Hook. Snedeker House, Southington, Connecticut. It's probably the most infamous on the list. It's the real-life location that inspired the events that took place in the movie A Haunting in Connecticut, which we just covered. According to Ed and Lorraine Warren, two paranormal investigators, the home was the site of powerful supernatural forces that required an exorcism, and we know from our episode there, it got so deep into whether the people were faking it or whether they exorcised all the demons there.
It really took hold of...
Of the oldest son. But it took weird sexual advantage of all the family members, and there were succubuses and incubuses and God knows what there, according to their stories. So, I've still not seen that movie. And did you say you saw the first one?
No, I haven't seen
it. Todd saw the second one, though, Haunting in Georgia, right?
Yeah, but I'd like to see him. So many movies I want to see, but I just don't have time.
Yeah, I understand. No, you don't say. We could watch it.
But I'm the only. Well, and my wife does not like to watch scary movies with me, so I have to find the time by myself to watch the movie.
Too bad you don't have a self-driving car or the Tesla where you just tell it to take me there and watch movies while behind the wheel of a car. Currently, it's unsafe to do that. But
yes, very unsafe.
One of these days, right? All right. Next one.
So I'm going to do the House of Wills in Cleveland, Ohio. Oh. The House of Wills was originally a German opera house built sometime in the early 1900s. The beautiful building later became a funeral home in the 1940s, but kept much of the opera decor. The funeral home has been abandoned since 2005. But it's believed the ghost of Mr. Wills himself still roams the haunted halls.
Of course he does, right?
And this is one I did a little bit of a snooping and reading more into this one.
Snoop away.
And I read a story, a personal story of, I don't know if they're technically paranormal investigators, but they like doing like the urban discovering,
like exploring,
and taking pictures, and you know, more artistic with taking the pictures and that kind of stuff, and shadow play and colors and that kind of stuff. Him and his buddies went to this place, and they found, I think as the story went, they were able to access the upstairs. Like the first floor and upstairs, they found like a unlocked door or whatever. But then they knew it had a basement, but the door to the basement was locked or they couldn't find it.
Yeah.
But while snooping around outside, they saw one of the basement windows was broken out or open.
Mm-hmm.
So they slithered in and got into the basement, started snooping around down there.
Snooping and slithering, it sounds good.
Yes. And taking really cool pictures. I wish I remember the website that I read this off of, but you can try doing a search and finding it. But anyhow, they're going around through the basement and they found another locked door. But this locked door had to be locked from the other side,
mm-hmm.
which meant someone was in there because it was locked.
Which would make you poop your pants, right?
And so they're like, okay, we need to get out of here.
Yeah.
So they turned around and started to head out, and they heard the door handle jiggle.
Mm-hmm.
So they ran over and grabbed the door handle so they couldn't open it.
Yeah.
Well, then they're like, okay, now we're trapped because now we have to sit here and hold this handle so this guy or whoever behind this door doesn't come out.
I mean, I'm immediately thinking spirit.
Yeah. So
I don't know why I go to that, but.
So they made the quick decision to let go of the door handle and take off, and it was dark, so they couldn't run. They had to like speed walk.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't trip over anything. And so they're trying to make their way through this dark basement, and it's an older gentleman with a gun
mm-hmm.
that came out of the door. And he's like, "Where are you guys? Hold up. Where are you guys going? It's okay. Come back." You know, and they're like, "We're just taking pictures. That's all we're doing." And they kept on going, trying to get back to that window.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they got to the window, they're like, oh, crap. We
hoist each other to get up to this window. Wait, old man. Just so stay right there.
Uh-oh, we're caught now.
Yeah.
So it gave him enough time. He caught up to him. And he's like, hold up. What? you know, everything's fine. It's okay. And they're like, this could go wrong so quickly.
Heck yeah.
And actually, it happened to turn out great. They're able to talk. He told them history of the building, mm-hmm. and he introduced them to that current owner. I don't know if it's still the current owner, but
yeah,
this photographer, he was like, he's still friends with the owner. But yeah, I just thought that was putting myself in their shoes. That would be very scary.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Encountering someone with a handgun and then trying to escape.
You hear about all these, and I've seen videos of people that it makes it look like they're breaking in. And obviously that one they did, but, and I'm sure a lot of people do. We've seen some of the islands, like the goat, mm-hmm. the Hiroshima or whatnot, or, you know.
Well, and that's what the old man said too. He's like, I understand why you want to come in here and investigate and look.
Say, hey, I want to do this, and so I'm going to do it. And that's part of the thrill is breaking in. I also wonder if some of these they're not like setting up and like they got permission, but they make it look like they're breaking in. So that could possibly be
production value,
exactly, and entertainment. Yeah. And I understand that, but it's like, but some of those, I guarantee you they're doing it. But you think if you put these videos out there, like, hey, we broke in this place, and they're like, you're arrested.
Yeah, you're,
you know, like, so you wonder how much, like, you could really do that. But
yeah.
And, like, I think, your real name, you know.
Like I said, a lot of it, I believe, staged. They mm-hmm. act like they're trespassing, but they're not.
If you were really trespassing, you would, like, bleep your face and make, you know, distort your voice almost, I would think, which would be even creepier. But
and you, I mean, honestly, in my opinion, you wouldn't be posting it out for everybody to see. Either.
No, that's what makes it. Yeah, but it's still cool. I love the videos. Yeah. There's a castle house in Brumley, Missouri. This old Victorian house is more than 160 years old. During its history, it's been both a funeral home and a hospital. So there's a whole lot of residual there, right? It's also one of the most haunted homes in the Midwest. If you're feeling really brave, you can spend a night in the house by renting it on as an Airbnb. So that would be fun too. These are all, this is a lot to add to our list, by the way.
I want to go to every single one of them.
Right. So that's it. Well, I mean, that begs the question. I know we normally talk about this kind of stuff, but, you know, would you stay the night in one of these places? I know we'd go visit and do like an overnight investigation, but would you sleep in a known funeral home or one that was used as a funeral home? And maybe that's a little bit different either way. But
I am 100% perfect with investigating. I have no desire to sleep, per se, in a known haunted location. Mm-hmm. Not my thing. I'm
so you're a no.
I'm told, and I know Todd's answer is like, I'll sleep. I don't care.
Yeah.
But, I'm.
Did you just put words in his mouth?
I did. And that was my Todd voice.
Yeah. I thought it was, get off my lawn. Get off my lawn.
So, yeah, I love the investigation aspect of it. I have no desire to sleeping bag and pillow and fall asleep at these places.
It's
not my cup of tea.
I would rather investigate than fall asleep, but I don't know. I probably would do it overnight. As long, I would not do it by myself though. That is not like I'd, you know, either Jenna make her stay with me or like have somebody there with me. I would do it, but the investigation I would do.
I guess if you're doing a long, complete night and you want to take turns getting some shut eye or whatever, maybe. But I think I already know. From the few investigations that we've done, I'm jazzed and juiced up.
Yeah.
So my adrenaline's going.
You couldn't sleep if you wanted to.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to sleep anyhow. Cause I don't want to miss anything. I just have so much fun doing the exploration and investigation. With that being said, I have another funeral home. It's been standing abandoned for decades. Because of demonic forces.
Oh, man. Yeah, that stands to reason.
This building is, I believe, 50 miles south of Atlanta, Georgia. It's been sitting over 10 years with no one residing in it. Haunted by demonic forces. Let's see. My screen jumped. Haunted by demonic forces, and the owner fled.
Darn right.
So it is a creepy funeral home. So yeah, like I said, the owner fled and never to return. The property since has been seized by the U.S. tax authority, but it's so rural they don't know what to do with it, so it just sits. There's hearths that are sitting outside, one containing a pink coffin. It's sort of like Rockville, the sanatorium.
Oh, yeah,
there.
Where they get the cars out. Yeah, yeah, busted
and,
tires.
And it's not loitered or mm-hmm. really touched. So, like, the mortuary tables are still in there.
Yeah.
The garbs and everything that the morticians would wear is all hanging there. Dead flowers and vases. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of captured in time. But let's see, this person that went there. Get to the juicy stuff. Ben James, he is an urban explorer, and he was brave enough to go check this place out.
Mm-hmm.
The owner was driven to the depths of despair as she became convinced that a demon was residing in the building. Becoming increasingly erratic in her behavior, she one day decided to vacate the premises for good. The owner apparently left one day, stating that there were demonic forces there. She would come out onto the drive and say to the neighbors that a demon was inside. She became more and more erratic and left one day, never to come back. It's since been seized by the IRS. While he was there checking the place out, there was a thunderstorm with lightning, so it made it very eerie. He said that the place feels very creepy and sinister. The fact that it's just been completely left like that, it hasn't really been ransacked or looted. As he was exiting the property, like the owner, Ben realized he wasn't alone as he made a shocking discovery. There was somebody I met on the way out who was actually a squatter who said that he had been sleeping
too.
In one of the cars. He went on to say, he won't sleep inside. I'd rather sleep in the car than sleep inside the place because it's just something not right with it.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about anything demonic. It's. I'm sure he's tried it too. Like, something wrong.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure the squatter is like,
but you think
spent one night in there and was like, nope.
But
I'm
even
out.
Being in a hearse, I wouldn't want to sleep in a hearse. Like, I think that would be super. But yeah, anything demonic would. You can count me out. I don't want to do an investigation. I don't want to stay the night there. I don't want to do any of that stuff. If it's bad voodoo, I'm out.
Yeah. If things get highly aggressive, it's a done deal.
Yeah. I don't like messing with the dark arts. All this talk makes me think of. I never had anybody. I don't know any morticians personally. I knew a guy that wanted to be a mortician when I was growing up in high school. He was in my brother's class, which is about 3 years ahead of me. And I remember that's all he wanted to do. But it was in his. It was like a family practice. So a lot of times, that's how it seems like that's how people get into it. Is it's a family business. And but other than that, I have been. You know, like I said, I've been in them in funerals and. I've walked by him. I talked about that where my grandparents lived close to one. When my dad was young and my grandfather, he was in World War II. He worked all kind of different jobs. He was a realtor at one point. He worked for the government. He worked for the city of Logansport, and he would do all kind of odd jobs. So he built railroads and patched them up and whatever. And so he did a lot of different things. Then he retired from like a General Tire, the tire company. But he, at one point, he was, when he was working for the city, he would help in the cemeteries. He would help like deliver bodies and all these kind of things. So he was working with funeral homes, and then he would help, like I said, dig the graves. There was one lady that was like in a, she was freshly prepared, and he said she was a very beautiful lady. She was young. She had died young. And she was in this, beautiful white dress, and they had her set up, and she was in her casket, and they were working on her grave, and somehow the casket got tipped. And my grandfather was down in the hole, And she basically spilled out of her casket onto him, and he saw her coming. And so he like basically, and you know, like had his arms out and caught her. And so he's sitting there, he's like, you know, she wasn't dead. She'd just be like, it's like she was sleeping. And he said, I caught her. And, you know, it's just kind of, there was a creep factor, but he was like, you know, I'm just glad nothing happened to her, you know, trying mm-hmm. to be respectful of the dead. And the guys jumped down there like, oh, here, Everett, let's help you. You know, and he got her back up and got her put in the casket. And it was just an accident. And, but they're like, man, how did you do that? How'd you stay so calm? And he's like, I lived through World War II. I've done all these other things. You know, he's like, I can catch a dead body, you know, six feet up. But I remember that as a kid, always thinking that would give me the heebie-jeebies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know if I could do it.
But I remember him telling it. He told it like it was so calm, but I'm not sure that most people would react in such a calm manner. But like I said, he's, you know, some of the crap he'd seen. But that's what makes me think of, you know, and like just going into. But I always had a lot of questions when I was in funeral homes and you know, different like either friends of the family or families, you know, members that died and going to these funerals. I just, you know, the organ music playing and everybody's so, you know, somber or whatever. And it's just, you know, you got all these questions about death. But so these places are just filled with, in my opinion, it's just, you know, obviously there's a lot of respect for the dead, but it's, it just made me think and question and wonder. We went to Jenna's great grandmother, her funeral. And our niece and nephew were very young. And our niece, I met her, her name's Kaylee. And she's just this little girl. And she's looking around and she asks questions constantly. And they kept telling her, be quiet, be quiet. And she yelled out in the middle, like complete silence. She goes, is she in there? You know, like that she wanted to know. And I was like, yeah, that's a great question. Like, yeah. You know, out of the mouths of babes, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is from the New York Post. And this is by Hannah Frischberg. It says, would you pay $769,000 to live in this quote-unquote probably haunted funeral home? While it's not confirmed, this historic abode includes undead residents. The likelihood is pretty high. In Millbury, Massachusetts, this funeral parlor is up for sale and being advertised with refreshing realness. Quote-unquote probably haunted reads the dryly honest lawn sign at 56 Main Street above the more typical for sale and brokerage info markers. Media realty agent Erica Crystal Euchre, who holds the listing, admitted that she's not sure if it's truly haunted, but given the age, she supposes it's a possibility. The USA Today moved the investigation forward by approaching one of the funeral home's assistants in a local cemetery, asking the individual if they've ever encountered anything spooky within its walls. The answer was no comment. Built in 1850 as a resident, that means yes. built in 1850 as a residence, the property has been with the same family since the 1940s. And, excuse me, they've used it to operate a funeral home since 1948. If you're a homeowner looking for a home with extraordinary presence and space, this could easily be converted back to a single family home. Noted the $770,000 listing. The first floor of the potentially ethereal occupied compound is composed of several massive rooms suitable for a variety of uses, as well as two half baths. So the pictures are actually pretty astounding. Some of it looks like a funeral home and some of it looks like just a typical home.
Yeah.
It says the second floor contains all three bedrooms and three more bathrooms, one full and two half, as well as multiple sitting rooms, laundry hookups, and two kitchens. There's also a walk-up attic, a full basement, and a three-car garage on the property, which measures in it as just under 5,200 square feet in total, and according to the listing, is located within walking distance of Millbury's downtown. It's truly an honor to represent this gorgeous, expansive property and meet so many amazing people interested in breathing new life into it, and so on and so forth. And it says, so they're saying, you know, there are some people that would look at that and say, almost haunted, forget it, or possibly or probably haunted. And other people are like, yeah, I'd pay $1 million for that thing, you know? So, but yeah, it's a pretty cool article. I appreciate that.
Well, I found a little site here, Funeral One. They compiled a little article here of haunted funeral tales compiled by Rochelle Righto.
Righto.
So the first one is gone in a blink of an eye. We had a younger man a few weeks ago who passed suddenly. One night, after closing up, and hitting the lights, we walked towards the back hallway. As I looked down the hall before heading out the door, I saw a man with dark hair and a dark suit at the end, just standing there. I thought it was the director. When I blinked, he was gone. The director with me that day was in a light gray suit and had blonde hair. The next day, I went to close the casket in the chapel. Lo and behold, it was the same gentleman that was in the hallway the day before. Two of my coworkers said they experienced similar events, such as when walking past his casket, they felt like they bumped into someone, but no one was there.
That's a lot of the stuff that I would hear, you know, like just some really creepy, weird stuff. It's funny because they have to ask each other, like, hey, did you see this? Because they don't want to be, you don't want to feel,
you don't want to be crazy.
Completely insane, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Another one is turn the light on.
or don't.
At least once a week, we had to turn off the attic light at our funeral home. We never would turn it on, but we would always have to turn it off. We were the only ones with access to the attic.
That's what a lot of, like, lights coming on that there's no other way that they could have been turned on. You know, they're just the old-fashioned kind of light switches.
The two push buttons.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. And so they said there's just no way. And then, like, doors unlocking themselves that nobody else had keys to, and there's no way, and weren't broken into. And so there had to be something else in the house that was taking care of this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it is. Maybe it's just residual energy or spirits looking over the place or whatever it is. It's just, it's super creepy. And some of these places, the reports were nothing sinister or ominous. In other places, there's like, oh yeah, like the one in Connecticut has definitely had an evil presence to it, at least at one point. Maybe not all the owners, but yeah. So we're going to these places, right?
Yeah,
we're hitting some funeral homes. I think we should. I'm just the one that's over here in Mooresville. It's scary to go by. It's nice. It's I don't know how old it is, but it looks like it's probably been redone. But I'm sure it's nice. But you look and think, oh, I wonder what's up in that attic, and oh, I wonder what's in that basement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got the blood pits, and they got the body. You know, they have to have different, like devices to be able to move the bodies and all that kind of stuff. So it's just, it's morbid, but it's also part of living is dying, and everybody's got to do it, you know, in one way or the other. So, but yeah, it's just to me, it would not be an easy job. I'm glad there are people out there that are okay doing that and handling the dead and being respectful, but not for me. And I'd prefer not living in a place that was used for that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know some people wouldn't bother them, but me, it would.
Oh yeah.
I'll investigate. I'll do that all day long. But
well, here's one, sort of like, you never want to happen to you. I worked at the funeral home in Ashland, Massachusetts, and one day my boss heard moaning coming from the prep room.
Mm.
When he went into the room, the woman was barely but still alive.
Oh, that would be scary. That's the thing is you know, and because that can happen.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Know, there's throughout history, obviously, they've even, you know, we've talked about that too, made devices, the bells underground so that you could ring the bell in case you're still alive or you're buried alive. Or being able to scream for help or whatever. But wouldn't that be terrifying? Because they found bodies that, you know, of the claw marks of people trying to get out, and they were still alive. Oh, my gosh. It's just terrible.
This is, I think this one has more to the story, but I'm just going to go with the little snippet that they have right here.
Okay.
It's titled, An Encounter Too Scary for Even a Ghost Hunter. That's what caught my eye.
Yeah.
As I sat alone in the kitchen, I heard something. It was only a little sound at first, and so I ignored it. But then it came again, louder this time. There was a steep spiral staircase that led to the second floor, winding up from the corner of the small kitchen. And it was where the noise seemed to be coming from. Assuming it was simply one of the homeowners restless after dropping their son off in an institution, I glanced up. It was coming down the stairs. I can't say walking because that wasn't the case. It was just floating. Isn't even the right word. Just coming down the stairs straight at me. It had no eyes. It had no face. And yet somehow I knew it was looking at me, right at me, into the very depths of my soul. Then it spoke. I'm not sure how it spoke.
Without a face.
I don't think I actually heard anything, so perhaps it was using some sort of telepathy. Mm-hmm. Either way, I can recall the words to this very day. You know what he did to us.
Oh, that's so scary. That makes me think of The Haunting of Bly Manor. Did you see that one?
Mm-mm.
Oh, it's scary. There's a lady it's a lady of the lake, and not to give away anything of that show, but she has no face, and you see her, and like, or you hear about her, you hear like all these different things, and then when you see her, it just scares the living bejesus out of you, and it's that kind of an encounter where it's like, I don't know what, you know, we expect humans to have certain features that make us feel comfortable with them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a nose or you don't have eyebrows or you don't have certain things, it just kind of, it's off-putting. But when you don't have an entire face,
yeah.
Or eyeballs, that's the worst. Like I don't even know what else would top that, you know, not having a head, maybe the headless horseman. Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty nasty. So,
wow. Well, I mean, I have a feeling we probably could do this all night.
Yeah,
with all these stories.
Go and listen to them. Some of these, on, like I said, on Reddit and the you know, the anything, the creepy websites out there, the YouTube videos. There's so many stories, and some of these are people that actually work in them. There's some people that investigate them, and there's some people that live in what used to be a funeral home. Mm-hmm. So,
I'm sure we could probably do
after story.
Do a part two later.
Creepypastas are out there too. Yeah. They've got some really nasty ones that I listened to and read.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So what do you think I'm going to do?
Well, I know it's going to be the middle-aged moment or dark side. Uh-huh. So I'm going to say moment.
It's dark side. I got you that time. Okay, so I've been wanting to do Rob Zombie for a while.
Oh, okay.
So, and this song has been stuck in my head. So I thought, and it was on the radio. So
Dracula?
No, but that's a great song. But Living Dead Girl.
Ah,
and this is like,
go.
And this is just from some of the stories that we've done. But like some of the stuff that you listen to, it makes your skin crawl. So does the song in a fun way, right? All right. Who is this irresistible creature who has an insatiable love for the dead? Living Dead Girl. What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? The same thing you are. Rage in the cage and upon the stage. Pee upon the stage. How about that? There's only one sure way to bring the giant down. Defunct the strings of the cemetery things with one flat foot on the devil's wing. I love the imagery on this, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Crawl on me, sink into me, die for me, living dead girl. Crawl on me, sink into me, die for me, living dead girl. This kind of makes me think of my grandfather's story, too. What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? I don't think he ever listens to Zombie, though. The same thing you are, raping the geek and hustling the freak. Like a hunchback juice on a sentimental noose, Operation Filth, they love to love the wealth of an SS, making scary sounds. Crawl on me, sink into me, die for me, a living dead girl. Crawl on me, sink into me, die for me, a living dead girl. There's what are you thinking about? Cyclone Jack, a hallucinating hack, thinks that Donna Reed eats a dollar bills. Goldfoot's machine creates another fiend so beautiful they'll make you kill. So crawl on me, sink in me, die for me, living dead girl. Blood on her skin, dripping with sin, do it again, living dead girl. Blood on her skin, dripping with sin, do it again, living dead girl. I know we're living on the edge a little bit with that, but that's that's Rob Zombie, right?
Fantastic song,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, and I say this a lot, but if you haven't heard it, go out there and listen to it because it's fantastic. It's creepy, it's fun, it is what it is, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, he's
one of a kind.
Definitely one of a kind. Mm-hmm. I love his movies. Some people don't care for him, but I think everything that he's done is
you don't watch
fantastic.
Yeah, that's right. Oh,
He's my kind of guy.
That's right. There was a picture of him, though, recently, and they said he looks like a macho man returned from the dead.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. He really does.
Yeah, for sure. Well, what about the second announcement?
Oh, I have the second part of the announcements on Script Not Script. Follow us on all our social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, X, and Rumble. We got the Rumble in a little bit. Email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two A's. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, give us a 5-star rating, and leave a review if the app allows. Please spread the word about our podcast. We sell all kinds of merch, so go get you some. We offer many types of show sponsorship opportunities for individuals and businesses if interested. And if you are enjoying our show, these are a few ways to help and show us support.
Fantastic.
Thank you. I shoot for fantastic. You know that, right?
Now I guess it's the time of the show where I'm going to hand it over to Nate.
Yeah, right.
For the rap.
Nate? Oh, Nate's right there. There he is.
Oh, thank you very much. Next time you're in a funeral home, keep your eyes open. You never know what you're going to find in there.
Living dead girl, right?
Because it seems like there's a lot of haunted activity in these places. And that's a wrap.
I like it. I like it a lot.
So, we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to episode 154 and our discussion on funeral home or haunted funeral homes. So until next time, Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your host, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.